Leading Ideas Talks is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly newsletter at www.churchleadership.com/leading ideas. How can we really see and hear people in front of us? Listen as Lewis Center Director F. Douglas Poe speaks with thought leader Reverend Junius Dotson about moving from being inward-focused to outward-focused.
This is Doug Poe, the director of the Lewis Center, and I'm talking with the Reverend Junius Dotson. Junius, it's wonderful to speak with you today, and we're glad to have you a part of Leading Ideas Talks. Junius, you've written about developing an intentional discipleship system. So how do you define discipleship?
Well, I define discipleship as an intentional process of, or a core process, if you will, that is very intentional about ensuring, you know, helping people come to know Christ, helping people to grow in Christ. And by that, I mean the spiritual disciplines. Not only the, you know, you ought to, but the how-tos and how we encourage people to grow in practice spiritual disciplines and, you know, what becomes normative for the life of a congregation and then particularly for individuals who are involved in that congregation. A system that is intentional about helping people serve Christ, and that means, you know, understanding their spiritual gifts and how to release those gifts in the building of the kingdom. And really, and also seeing that you know, that being part of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And then sharing Christ, you know, teaching people to share their faith, teaching people to take their faith public. So I think that's a very, very important piece of discipleship that we sometimes don't focus enough on. And I think that's crucial as I think about the current religious landscape. I think it's crucial to how we continue to make disciples in the 21st century. People are have to be able to share their faith. They have to be able to, say, leverage relationships. And I say, by that, I mean praying for divine opportunities in relationships. We can't disciple people that we're not in relationship with. And the reality is we're in lots of relationships. We just never take our faith. Not enough of us take our faith public. And so a process that really encourages that and teaches people how to do that in a way that's invitational, not in terms of beating somebody upside the head with a Bible saying be saved, but in a way that's invitational and in a way that says, I honor the relationship that you and I are in, and there's an opportunity. There are always going to be opportunities for you to be able to share your faith.
Why do you think people are so reluctant to share their faith? So, as you know, particularly in most mainline denominational congregations, we sort of have this sense that people would just find us or come to us, that we don't have to publicly sort of do what you just talked about and sharing our faith. Why do you think there's such a reluctance, particularly in mainline denominations, of sharing our faith?
Well, I think part of it is because, again, there's been such a separation between the sacred and secular that, you know, people compartmentalize their faith. And the reality is that, you know, discipleship is a lifelong journey. It is something that it is a journey that we're always on. It's not something you graduate from. It's not a program you go through. It's a way of being. It's a way of being in relationship with Christ, growing in Christ. But it's also a way of being and understanding our relationship with other people. I think that's part of the thing that makes people reluctant. Then secondly, I think there's not really a great appreciation for the fact that, I mean, people are struggling. People are looking for answers. People are looking for people to connect to in community. And we have to recognize that when we share our faith, that's a gift. We offer people the gift of knowing Christ, but we also offer people the gift of how we've grown in our relationship with Christ, and we offer people the gift of, you know, a God who, and I believe in a God of holistic salvation, a God who's concerned not only about our souls, but a God who's concerned about our emotional well-being, our physical well-being, our financial well-being. And I think when we share the incredible love, this incredible love of this Savior with others, that we are offering people a gift in the midst of sometimes difficult things that they're facing in their own lives.
And I really appreciate the way you're using the word gift, because I think you're right that a lot of people don't see sharing as a gift. They see it as a burden. Are there some ways that those of us who are working with congregations can help them to actually see when you share with others it really is a gift and it's not a burden?
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, we've launched this initiative at Discipleship Ministries called See All the People. And See All the People really is designed to spark, you know, this passion for making disciples. But it's also, you know, from an organizational perspective, is really focused on changing culture, changing the culture of our churches so that we're outward facing. And to be outward facing means that we are in relationships with people that are not transactional, but we're in relationships with people that are authentic, they're organic, they're consistent. And I think when you see those relationships and you begin to share your faith with others, and you begin to see their life change, and you begin to see, you know, a new sense of hope and joy in their lives. I mean, that's really the key, I think, to continuing to have a desire, you know, to continue to share your faith with others. And I think as pastors and leaders, I mean, whatever opportunities you can to help people share testimonies, we should do that. And that means from, you know, not just in church service, but, you know, from a small groups to administrative meetings to, you know, every opportunity is an opportunity to share a testimony of how God has been active in somebody's life. And those are stories of inspiration. They inspire people, and they inspire people to say, you know, I have a friend that maybe I need to be talking to, and I have a friend that I need to connect to. And I think so. Taking advantage of those opportunities to share testimonies, I think, is a very, very important piece. Now, to take the mystery out of the word testimony, to demythologize that word, is to say that means simply, you know, sharing your story. Hey, this is how God has been active in my life. You remember the thing that you prayed for me about? You know, this is how it looks like in my life right now. This is an answer. I'm living an answered prayer life right now. So, you know, just things as simple as that, you know, inspire people to continue to share their faith.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to pick up on another sort of aspect of the book. You make a distinction between missional engagement and outreach. Why do you think this is such an important distinction?
Well, I think that outreach, as a denomination, we do outreach very well. Local churches do outreach extremely well. There's sometimes a disconnect, though, between the serving and the building of relationships. And what I'm suggesting is a church may have an outstanding outreach program, for instance, and they have a feeding program, our community breakfast, our food pantry. What I'm suggesting is that it would be just as valuable to continue that type of outreach, but to bring innovation to it or to transform it so that we are intentionally building relationships. And we're getting to know the stories of the people who are utilizing this mission so that we're not simply in ministry for people, but we're in ministry with people. And I think just that nuance and changing that understanding is basically what I mean, you know, in terms of missional engagement. There's a church that recently did an outreach event at a laundromat. They basically, a congregation donated money over a course of 6 weeks or so to go pay for people's laundry at the laundromat. And now that could have been a simple outreach program where they went, they just paid for people's laundry, and they kept rolling. But what transformed it into a missional engagement opportunity was not only did they pay for people's laundry, but they also talked to people and they got to know their stories. And the result of this, Doug, was phenomenal. Number one, there were persons who connected with that church immediately, simply because there were persons who heard them and who listened. And so that's a way to just to get to know people's stories. The second piece is there were persons that just saw what was going on and wanted to help. So that was, again, another way for, our outreach turned into community engagement. So not only were this church in ministry with four people, they were in ministry with people. And they also, because of the nature of it, there are people that came alongside and say, hey, we want to support this effort. We want to help. And we also want to be a part of an organization or a church that's doing, this type of life-changing ministry.
And you picked up on a very important thing. It's one that I try to work with students on all the time, the difference between doing ministry for people and ministry with people. But I also find it's one, as you know, that it's really challenging, particularly in congregations that have been doing ministry for people for a number of years, to sort of transform to doing ministry with people. Are there any suggestions you have to help them to sort of work in that process of transformation to do ministry with people, not simply for people?
So I was in a seminar, a lecture last week with Jim Farrell of the Arbinger Institute, and they were talking about his new book called Outward Mindset. And basically the premise or the goal of this book is to help organizations who are inwardly focused turn outward, to be outwardly focused. And he gave three keys to making this happen. And I got to tell you, I was with some of my team, and when he gave the first key, we all looked at each other, and there was a big, okay. His first key was see people. In other words, that we have to see people as persons who have goals and aspirations and people who have a story. And so when you begin to see people, and it obviously dovetailed into our see all the people thing that we're doing, it's really, once you begin to do that, you begin to relate to people differently, which the second key was adjust efforts. And so his argument was that if we begin to see people and as people, not as pawns in some, to help us achieve our goals or our objectives. But if we actually see people and really have a real desire to see change and impact in their lives, then the natural result of that is that we will adjust our efforts. And the third key was then you measure your impact. So I just thought it was pretty fascinating to think that, if we just begin to see all the people, then that is going to lead to some adjustments of effort in terms of what we are currently do. It's basically getting, again, at the culture of who we are as local churches and our understanding of what our ultimate call is, which is to make disciples. And as we think about making disciples and seeing the people, then, I think that is going to lead to adjusting our efforts, from an internal perspective.
You've talked to and mentioned once before this new effort you all are starting at Discipleship Ministries. Do you want to say more about what you're trying to accomplish and how others can become connected to it?
So we have three strategic priorities at Discipleship Ministries. One is an intentional process of discipleship process in every local church. And that's really what this book is focused on. The second is engagement with people who are currently outside the church. The third is cultivating contextualized resources around the globe. And so see all the people really focused on that second strategic priority, which is engagement with people who are outside the church. And the premise is, you can have the best designed discipleship process. You can have, every I dotted and every T crossed. But if we're not engaging people who are outside the church, then we're still missing the point. So that is really the emphasis or the impetus behind See All the People. It's not a program. It's an initiative that is designed to spark passion for being in relationship with people. It is designed to spark a passion for us to move beyond the four walls and to be in relationships with people that are authentic relationships, organic and consistent. And our belief is that as we do that, it is going to lead to opportunities for greater faith sharing. It's going to lead for opportunities for us to make more disciples, for people to come to know Christ, for people who've been disconnected from the church to reconnect. And then internally, for us to continue our own discipleship journey as we see how we're making an impact in people's lives.
And you also talk about in the book sort of the importance of leveraging technology. So in today's busy world, as we seek to be in community with others, obviously we can't always do that in person, and we have to find other ways to connect. Can you say more about how particularly congregations can leverage technology to their benefit as they seek to do this missional engagement?
Sure. So technology is a great way to begin conversation and maybe to initiate relationships that we're currently not in relationship with people. And so social media is a great way to do that. You know, our website, seeallthepeople.org, has some social media tools that people can connect to. There's also, we've done some conversation starter videos where people can download that video for free. And also, if they share their email address, I'll send out fresh ideas and fresh content every single week. A couple of things here is that we believe that there are churches across our denomination who have excellent systems of discipleship, like to be able to share those with people. We believe that there are churches across our denomination who are doing an excellent job of engaging with people outside the four walls, like to be able to share some of those creative ideas. So that's just a way for... And that's kind of the uniqueness of this movement, if you will, is that we're not coming off as we're the experts and this is the only way you can do it. What we're trying to do is say that we want to give you the best ideas, the most creative ideas, and what people are doing, and you can find what works in your particular context. And social media is a big part of that. I'll give you an example. People give me these stories. They send things into me in terms of how they are living this out. I'm going to share two examples with you. One is a church in Chicago that decided that they were going to go see other people do something they've never done before, which is simply to do communion outside. So they went outside their doors and they offered communion out on their doorsteps, and they have people gathered around the church. And as they went outside, they started praying for people that were passing by. They were praying for the people who were on the bus stop. They were praying for the church across the street, the mega church across the street. And the pastor invited them to pray with their eyes open so they could literally see all the people, see the people that God has called them to reach. And in the midst of this communion service, There was a police car that drove up to see what they were doing. They stopped. There were two young men that were waiting for the bus across the street. And as they dispersed out into the street, they gave communion to these two young men who took communion with the police officers. What an astonishing, an amazing story. And this was something that they had never done, and at least in the memory of that church. And the result was phenomenal. And if you can imagine the symbolism of the table being extended to this community, and particularly to young Black men and police officers taking communion together. Wow. I mean, what an incredible image. And you fast forward that, you know, to a week later, And they're baptizing 10 people in Lake Michigan. And some of the people that they baptized were some of those passerbys, people that were just kind of happened unto what they were doing. So that's an incredible story. Then this is an example of an individual who took to social media to, again, I'm going to figure out a way to be in relationship with people that we're currently not in relationship with as a congregation. And so she posted on Facebook and said, I'm a single parent, and I'm willing to imagine that there are other single parents who live in this city who need support or who don't have support and who just like to get together and talk about it. And so she just posted this thing on social media, and there was an instantaneous small group that emerged, you know, out of that just simple post. I mean, those are the kind of creative things I think that we can do more of as local churches and denominations. And as we do that, I think God is going to continue to honor our desire to make disciples. I think we're going to see some amazing stories happening across our denomination.
Those are powerful stories. And this will be the last question I ask you. So do you think that those stories happen obviously organically? And this is a challenge I struggle with, is how do you help congregations to sort of create organic opportunities, which sort of sounds like an oxymoron, because if you're creating it, it's not organic. But I think a lot of times people just sort of say, well, we don't know how to think outside of the box, or we don't know how to do these sort of things. So how do we help more congregations to have sort of those testimonies, to go back to a word we used earlier?
So that's a great question. And I think this is the, and it kind of goes back to this change of culture, or the posture of being church. And so if we believe the premise, and the Arbinger Institute is teaching now, that if we begin to see people differently, that we will naturally adjust efforts. That's the organic piece. And I think as we know, organically begin to adjust efforts, then that's where the creativity comes in. And people will just think about, man, I never thought about doing this, but let me do this. Like that social media small group idea, I mean, you know, you can't, that's something you can't sit in a room and plan. Right. That's a person that just says, you know what, I'm going to try to really live into this spirit of seeing all the people. And so when that happens, though, what we ask people to do is take pictures or write it up in a couple of sentences and hashtag it. Hashtag see all the people. And then we just begin to collect those stories and those pictures and those testimonies. And I think as you go to seeallthepeople.org and you begin to see more of the things that are happening across the denomination, it'll spark some of those creative ideas as well. So, you know, that's the thing about a movement. A movement is very organic, but when that momentum begins to build and the wave begins to build, it's something you just kind of step into. But you just gotta have that, you know, that posture and begin to operate in movement ways. And one of the ways that we operate in movement ways is, you know, to see all the people. And from a pure discipleship perspective, when you understand the historical nature of discipleship, even when Jesus begins to talk about discipleship in that cultural context, it really was about people being in relationship with others. It really was about praying for divine opportunities to share your faith. It really was about praying for divine opportunities to invite somebody to just walk with you on this journey of faith. It is so much more than simply inviting people to church. Well, we ought to invite people to church. Don't get me wrong. But this is such a much, this movement is so much deeper than simply the church invite.
What are you reading right now, or what have you recently been reading that is shaping your thinking about leadership?
I recently just finished rereading Leadership and Self-Deception. I finished reading a book on human design, human-centered design, which is a way of ideation and a way of thinking about how to create solutions to difficult and complex problems. Also finished a book called The First 90 Days, which is a kind of a comprehensive way of looking at how to onboard into a new organization. So those are just kind of a few things that have captured my attention. I also finished, did another quick read through of A Failure of Nerve by Friedman. And that was a book that I go back to fairly often as I think about change in organizational cultures, and particularly when there is anxiety in the midst of change or when I'm initiating change in an organization. It's helpful to go back and review some of those issues from a systemic perspective.
I just want to pick up for a second. All of those are wonderful books, but the one I'm least familiar with is the one on human design. So any insights in terms of what you're doing or for the church?
Yeah, it's just kind of a different way of thinking about approaching problems. It's a way of, it kind of really comes from the world of marketing, and it's kind of an approach that focuses on really customer-centered listening, but you know, thinking about resources, the resources that are available to you, thinking about how to take a big problem and reduce it to something that's more manageable. It's then focusing on how you create strategic partnerships to address you know, a particular issue or problem.
That sounds, I might have to pick that one up myself.
Yeah. So I think it has, you know, great, you know, implications or great opportunities for learning just from a different discipline. Matter of fact, I like reading books from different disciplines. it kind of brings a fresh perspective to the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And as you think about who sort of sticks out as a mentor for you in leadership, and why does this person, at least on this day, stick out for you?
That's a great question. The person for me is always going to be my pastor, Kirby John Caldwell. And he really is a person that models effective leadership, really about, you know, from the word, you know, from the word of God, and how the word becomes flesh. You know, in my own life and in the life of the community. And so I'm always thinking about, you know, how what we teach and preach translates into, you know, practical application, both in our individual lives, but also corporately, as we think about maximizing our impact as a local church or an organization.
Wonderful. I appreciate your taking the time, and before we go, I do want you to share, where can people, if they're interested in your book, Developing an Intentional Discipleship System, where can they, you know, get it or go to read more about what you're doing?
So if they will go to seeallthepeople.org, they can download the book for free. They can download the conversation, the starter videos. Matter of fact, if your listeners have seen the first video, we just released a second iteration of the See All the People video just this past Tuesday. We also have a study guide to help the conversation along. There's some other tools there, conversation cards that you can get from that site. There's a social media section. You can engage with other people in this conversation. So seeallthepeople.org would be the best source for them to get more information.
Wonderful. Thank you again for your time, and appreciate what you're sharing. I think it was really helpful.
And I appreciate the opportunity to share, and for your listeners, I am I'm privileged to be on this mission field, and I'm honored to be able to share and to be able to speak into their ministries.
Leading Ideas Talks has been brought to you by the Taking Church to the Community Video Toolkit. explore strategies your congregation can use to reach beyond its walls with worship, community events, ministries, and service to reach community members where they are. Taking Church to the Community is available on download and DVD at churchleadership.com/community. In the next episode of Leading Ideas Talks, Lewis Center Director Douglas Poe interviews Ann Michael about her book, Synergy, a leadership guide for church staff and volunteers.
I continue to think a lot about the changing leadership reality in congregations. I think we are beginning to think in more comprehensive ways about the nature of the religious workforce and how that is changing. In the nature of ministry and how that's becoming more inclusive and participatory. And that's really what I was bringing to the writing of Synergy, and I hope that's what I bring to my work in leadership overall.
Leading Ideas Talks is available on iTunes, the Google Play Store, and Stitcher. Subscribe today. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe free to Leading Ideas at churchleadership.com/leadingideas.